good if it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 4 of the Good Podcast, a special invited guest. You know him from Twitter as Coley Mick. He almost died. We have Coley on the line. Coley, say what's up to the people.
I almost died twice this year. It's getting pretty fucked up, but everyone wants to keep trying to kill me, and I'm going to keep living to spite everyone. Thanks for having me, guys.
I'm going to call you Coley Pox. We're going to get right into it. The NFL Week 1 recap, and we all know we're going to bury Schwab right here. What did you guys think of the Mariota versus Jameis matchup? Schwab?
I was right.
No, you weren't. It's week fucking one, the first game of the career, you fucking idiot. Okay, first of all, yes, okay, he threw an interception for a touchdown, his first attempt. But guess who else did? Brett Favre, who's a Hall of Famer, you dumb fuck.
He ain't Brett Favre. You
know, I kind of want to lighten the shop real quick, man, because I'm really wanting to question your manhood as a fan, as a football fan. Even your football knowledge, for you to go on Twitter and say fire Lish after one game. And, you know, it's funny because I clicked that hashtag and only seen one other idiot in the United States that had the same hashtag as you did. So obviously it tells me you and that other fuck doesn't know shit about football. You have a rookie quarterback who is playing his first professional football game, and you are wanting to fire the head coach, the offensive coordinator,
I want to fire the GM.
You want to fire everybody because the rookie quarterback had a off game. He threw two touchdowns, but because of the other quarterback played a lot better than him, that's your justification that he's a better quarterback than he is?
No, look, I wanted Mariota, you know, but Jameis wasn't good. He was far from the person I was most mad at in that game. Lovey, after the game, said, you know, we didn't show up, which – how many times last year did you say that? I lost count. Well,
14 times!
You've had 21 months now to get your guys in there, to get your system installed, and you're still going out there and getting blown out by the team that was picking second last year for a reason. So, I mean, what gives here? Something's got to change.
You can't look at records and compare and sit here and say, this guy is going to be better than that guy. You threw a rookie quarterback out there with a I can't explain what that offensive line is. It's a fucking shit.
It's awful.
You saw it last year.
It's awful again this year.
Let's get this guy. Let's give him a more realistic look. We see that Mariota had the better game by far. Long term, you guys are saying Jameis will be the overall better quarterback.
Yes,
but
easily.
It's Schwab. I mean, what was the difference between Mariota's game and Jameis's game? They're both rookies. They're both, I mean, very, very highly touted college players. Why did Mariota have such a breakout game? Shane?
I mean, it just happened to just work out in his favor. There's some talented players on that Tennessee offense. And, I mean, just Jameis getting off to that start where he threw the pick six, like right off the bat. Like, that just pretty much killed them for the whole game because it's not – and they were missing Mike Evans, too. You got to give him that. And I could tell right away that Tampa offensive line is atrocious. And
the worst in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's really bad. And, you know, they couldn't get the run game going. It was just a disaster. But, I mean, there's absolutely nothing from that game that made me say, you know what, maybe Mariota will be better than Winston. And if it was the other way around too, if Jameis would have completely outplayed him, that wouldn't have changed my mind about what I originally thought. Anyway, it's a one game sample from two rookie quarterbacks, and for you stupid fat fuck to put up all those tweets, it was just beyond stupid. And like, I didn't even click that stupid hashtag either that Prentice was talking about. I mean, no surprise it was you and some other idiot. For all the week one overreactions, and believe me, there were plenty, that was the absolute worst.
You ain't seen the overreaction yet. Coley, did you see the Buccaneers Titans game?
I saw parts of it. In all honesty, like, Mariota is very clearly – I mean, I'm going to have to agree with the fat virgin here. Mariota is clearly the best quarterback of all time. Like, he had the best debut of all time. It could only get better from here. Jameis is obviously trash. He should stick to being the criminal that he was born to be.
Oh, fuck you, you troll.
Nah, everyone knows. I'm all in on Jameis. He'd like what's his name said, Mike Evans didn't play. Mike Evans, I believe, is one of the better receiving threats in the NFL. Only after 1 year, he's a monster. I think Vincent Jackson dropped a touchdown. I was following on Twitter. I didn't get to see the end of the game, but Vincent Jackson, he's like the fucking Buccaneers had the ball within 10 yards. I think they ran 12 consecutive plays. Didn't score on fucking any of them. Like, what the hell's going on there? The Bucs are clearly a mess. Wasn't the top pick a coin flip? Like, both these teams sucked last year. So whoever was going to win this game, it was going to be overreactions towards the other one, because everyone wants to be right in this new world where everyone's a draft expert and college football analyst.
Ace, I have one question for you, and then we'll move on to the next. If we're doing this podcast, maybe 5-6 years down the road, I pray to God I don't know you guys by then. If Schwab is right, will you apologize to him?
I would rather shoot myself in the head than apologize to that fat fuck.
Okay. All right. So right now we'll give Schwab the benefit of the doubt. We'll see where it ends up.
A lot of it is Mariota.
No, we're done with the Mariota talk. The Packers, what did the game look like from your perspective?
I actually thought Cutler was, for the most part, other than that interception he threw to Clay Matthews at the end, he was pretty good. I mean, Bears had a pretty good game plan. They were just, they gave the ball to Matt Forte a ton, who remains one of the most underappreciated players in the NFL. And Capers could not adjust to what the Bears were doing, running a lot of short routes, just running Forte. And, you know, eventually Rodgers just took over and just made some, you know, Aaron Rodgers-type plays. And, you know, James Jones came back, 2 touchdowns. And, you know, the better team won in the end. But the Bears actually, for the most part, I mean, their defense is going to be probably bottom five in the NFL. It's terrible, but they still got a lot of play. They got playmakers on that offense. They're going to hang around in some games.
Curtis, what do you think?
I agree with what Shane said for the most part. I was surprised at the final score. You know, to top on what Shane said, it was the Bears, when the Bears finally decide that giving Forte the ball 20, 25 times a game, that they're a pretty good football team. When they do it, they are. They can compete with some of the league's best. And you saw that Sunday. You know, Forte was getting the ball out of the backfield, getting the ball, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield. You know, and I think that's why they were able to keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline a little longer and compete that game. Like I said, Cutler didn't play bad. I mean, it's embarrassing to say, hey, my quarterback only had one turnover. He didn't play bad because, you know, we're used to seeing 3 or 4 out of him. But, you know, he had one turnover, the crucial one. But I thought for the most part the Bears played pretty good, and I don't expect to see that a lot this season. But it's week one. You know, guys are getting in their fits, and it was overall a good game.
All right. Coley, are you a Patriots fan?
Does the Bears shit in the woods?
The Bears does shit in the woods. What did you think of the game last Thursday?
I thought it was kind of underwhelming. The final score was closer than the actual game was. Like, when the Patriots quit, basically, and the Steelers put up 7 with literally 2 seconds left on the clock, I don't really count that towards how the rest of the game was played. The Patriots didn't dominate like I thought they would, considering the offseason they just came off of. Like, Gronk only had 3 touchdowns. I was expecting, like, 6 or 7. Scott Chandler had 1 pass. Everyone thinks he's going to be, like, fucking. The one thing I don't like about being a Patriots fan is fucking idiot fans I have to deal with. People thought Scott Chandler was going to be Aaron Hernandez 2.0. Like, no. We see this guy twice a year. How did anyone think that was going to be the case? The defense, I'm not really too worried about. You know, Malcolm Butler went up against the best technical wide receiver in the league, and I say technical because I mean by position, not actual skill set, Antonio Brown. And Brown had got the best of him more often than not, but he was on his hip all game. Brown wasn't making these easy, wide-open catches. Malcolm Butler was on his hip all game. I truly do think he's going to be a good player and not just a guy who happened to make the greatest play in the history of the game.
I seen a couple of fade routes where Antonio Brown had at least 5 yards of separation.
But that's neither here nor there. The Bills. You guys got the Bills next week. What do
yep.
you think of that?
Well, we just got our professional ball deflators back today, so the Bills are pretty much fucked.
Tyrod Taylor is going to have a coming out party. I'm saying it right now.
Well,
he looks pretty good on
Sunday.
Like,
I don't disagree because Belichick historically has struggled against just, like, quarterbacks that don't just stand there. Like, the reason we do so well against Peyton Manning is because we know he's not going to fucking move anywhere. Anytime we play a quarterback who can run anything sub five, it's always been, like, that's why the Dolphins used to beat us when they first displayed the Wildcat. Belichick had no idea what to do. So if Tyrod can scramble, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he gave us a big headache on Sunday. But just five
yeah, didn't you guys lost to Kaepernick and Newton, like, a couple seasons ago, didn't you?
Oh, Kaepernick destroyed us. It was so, like, that game, it was, like, rainy, too, and he was just running all and throwing deep on, like, he did everything against us. It was incredible.
And Cam Newton beat us
because Luke Kuechly gave Gronk a fucking bear hug in the end zone. They didn't throw a flag because he's the closest athlete we've seen since Chet.
And that's a good segue to the Monday night game, if you want to call it a game, the 49ers and the Vikings. I want to go on record saying that everybody on this podcast told me that the Vikings were fucking serious. So I need at least 2 to 3 explanations from eight.
Okay, I'm going to eat crow right now. The Minnesota Vikings offensive line is complete shit. You see freaking pretty that fucking one big, fat, dumb fuck fucking who wouldn't get out of Teddy's way?
I fell asleep on the game. It was so fucking boring.
Yeah, that game was absolutely awful. I mean, terrible start for the Vikings. They gave the ball to Peterson how many, like, 4 times in the first half or something? I mean, it was just a pretty bad game plan that they had, and Carlos Hyde just destroyed them. That was a coming out party for him because he looked, I mean, other than just the spin move that he had to, you know, everybody vined, he was really, really good.
Man, whoever has Carlos Hyde on their fantasy team, they are lucky as hell.
Rob, we know you stayed up all night and watched the game. What do you think?
Me?
Your name is Schwab, isn't it?
I don't want to hear Schwab's opinion on it because he was watching Monday Night Raw. I'm gonna give you my opinion. I watched the game. We went from a boring first game with the Eagles and Falcons to the JV game later that night, which was even worse. Minnesota just didn't stick to game plan. Like today, they were trying to air the ball out, trying to showcase Teddy ball game, but they didn't play good. Adrian Peterson didn't get the carry. 49ers left side of the offensive line looked absolutely dominant. The right side looked like dog shit, and Carlos Hyde ran it down their fucking throat. I'm not surprised by the way the defense played. You know, the 49ers the past 10 years defensively, talent's been there. What can we do offensively? We kept the ball out of Kaepernick's hands, and we ran the ball, and we won the game. We do that all season. Damn it, we might get 8 wins. But we got to keep the ball out of Kaepernick's hands.
The only thing I'll say about the 49ers is that they had the worst offseason I've ever seen in my life. Like, they had so much more to play for than anyone else this past weekend, even the Patriots. They had more to play for than anyone. They debuted those swag-tastic black jerseys that they shouldn't wear anything else until they lose in those, by the way. But they had more to play for than anyone. So I'm not putting, like most week one games, I'm not putting a lot of stock in either. Like, I think both those teams are going to level out next week.
I agree with that one.
You guys are going to stop being so mean to Schwab. Schwab's going to get his revenge and the stump the 219 Schwab quiz we got coming up here later in the show. I'm betting the house on you, Schwab. You're going to go 3-0.
Did you give him the questions, like, beforehand just to make him, like, look a little better?
I don't even have the questions down myself. I'm doing them right now. So, no, this is all off the cuff. I'm Googling right now, but I'm putting all my money on Schwab. And the loser got a posted Twitter pic that says Schwab is the greatest. Nobody can say nothing?
Because you're getting ready to lose all your money.
Who is that, Cody?
If you bet the bank on Schwab, then you about to lose all your fucking money.
I bet the bank on Schwab. Hey, I'll do.
That's a Shane like bet right there.
Oh Jesus.
Jesus Christ! All right, just get it back to where we are. What surprises you guys got from the NFL? I know the Rams over the Seahawks was a really, I mean, do they need Cam Chancellor, Prentice?
What surprised me? Oh, go ahead, Prentice.
I mean, they miss him. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, they gave up what 31 points. You know, the offense didn't play great all game. I think the Rams are a surprise team. You know, that's one of the surprises is going to be St. Louis. Like, Aaron Donald is going to be, if you continue to watch this guy, he is going to be one of the top five defenders in football by the end of the season. And he plays like it, continue to play like it. Their defensive line is disgusting. Their defense is disgusting. And St. Louis got hit in the mouth. I mean, Seattle got hit in the mouth. It's week one. I don't want to overreact, but, I mean, Seattle better – you know, the schedule's not going to get any easier, so they need to come out this week and prove it.
Hey, didn't we call that game on the podcast last week? Schwab did bring up – no, what Schwab's trying to say is when I was throwing out my best bet last week, he threw in the fact that Seattle had it was a 10 a.m. start for Seattle, you know, for the first game of the year, so that, you know, could present some issues.
Yeah, he did. I remember that. Were you giving them half credit there, saying?
I mean, sure. when he brought it up, I mean, it makes sense. Like you do have to factor some of those things in an NFL game. You know, West Coast teams travel, you know, to the East Coast and have to play in some of these early games. You know, St. Louis is Central Time, but
St. Louis, my favorite East Coast city, St. Louis.
Well, you're right. Well. You know what I mean.
I just want to say what really surprised me is fucking Chip Kelly calling an Andy Reid-like game instead of a Chip Kelly game. He had fucking Sam Bradford throw the ball 53 times. Like, what the fuck is that? And then you fucking don't go for it on 4th-and-1 near the end of the game when you have a fucking momentum. Like, Chip Kelly always goes for it on 4th-and-1. Why didn't he do it this fucking time? That which crosses up to the fucking game. Fucking piece of shit, fat fuck.
Well, the worst.
You seem
angry. That wasn't even the worst coaching decision of the weekend. It was what happened in that motherfucking play to the Giants at the end of the game. I was sick. I had the Giants. I took the points with the Giants, and I had the money line. I needed them to win straight up. And I mean, it just doesn't get any dumber than what you saw. That was as stupid as I've ever seen. An NFL coach and a quarterback who just got paid. You're just crying, you wanted all this money, well, you got your money, then you do that. Then this piece of shit comes out after the game and says, well, I need to be better in those situations going forward. What the fuck? Like, how can you not know that? How can you do that? I mean, it's insane. I tweet, I said everybody should be fired. Fire them all. I mean, that was just the stupidest shit I have ever seen.
Was that the sixth coach you wanted fired that week?
I think it was the fourth. Well, I mean, I wanted the entire new Giants coaching staff should have been fired, along with Dom Capers.
I want to tell you what I was surprised about was this week was, we talked about it last week's podcast, was a pissed off Tom Brady. Like, that's exactly what we got Thursday night. He came out and he looked like he was in week 9 form, man, and He put it on Pittsburgh. I know we talked about Pittsburgh secondary and how bad they are. That shit didn't matter. It didn't matter who played on Thursday night. Tom Brady was on the
Gronk. Gronk was wide open on his play. They literally didn't cover the biggest person in the NFL for his first touchdown. Like, are you shitting me? Then they want to complain afterwards. It's fucking ridiculous. If you want to complain, make sure you cover the biggest player in the NFL. Then you can complain.
Are you guys buying? Are you buying the headphones went out, their cheating thing?
No.
I mean, it happens. I mean, I coached in college, and, you know, we had headset issues before, but that whole blaming New England, I mean, let's be serious. New England is coming off two of the biggest scandals in NFL history. They are not the very first game of the season. All coming off the biggest scandal ever is going to do something to make themselves look bad again. Like Mike Tomlin, look like a bitter bitch, take your loss, man, and go home.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'm not
buying it either. I'm not buying it.
I
believe that it happened, but the fact that, you know, people want to point and say, oh, they're cheating again, I'm not buying that.
No, yeah, I controls the headsets.
I want Belichick to get EMPs and stay and just take cheating to a whole new fucking level. Just revolutionize it.
And everybody that complains about Belichick cheating, find me one person for every single team other than New England, find me one fan that wouldn't want that guy coaching their team. You won't.
Exactly.
You probably wouldn't be able to find that, but we're going to, Shane, we need a best bet for this week. I had a buddy put $500 on the Steelers-Patriots game because of my tip, and with the last touchdown, he lost that $500. So I need a best bet this week.
Wow, that's Antonio Brown touchdown. That cost some people and won some people a lot of money. Well, coming off last week, I had two best bets. I had the Jets -3 and they ate that one, and I had Arizona -2.5 in that one. This time I'm going to Oakland, and my best bet of the week, I'm going to take the Ravens -6.5 right now. The word is now that Derek Carr will play in the game. You have to wonder how effective he will be, and, I mean, they looked pretty awful last weekend. You have a Baltimore team that they should have won that game. They should have went to Denver and won that game, and now you got them 0-1. They're going to go to Oakland, and I know Terrell Suggs is out, but I fully expect them to put it on Oakland. That's going to be a double-digit win. So my best bet of the week is Baltimore -6.5.
And major props to Shane last week on that call. I actually took the Jets -3, took the Packers -7 in a parlay, and it won me some good money.
Excellent.
And
always good to hear when somebody else wins some money.
I gave him the Jets, too. He parlayed that into some other shit that he lost. So moving on to week two. What game, Ace, are you looking forward to outside of the Eagles game?
Easily the Bills and Patriots. I think it's going to be outstanding. I really want to see that defense from the Bills test Tom Brady and get up in his face. And I want to see Tyrod Taylor just completely destroy that New England secondary.
There's a lot of Patriot hate going on here.
Yeah, just
home. Shane, who you got?
Well, obviously outside of Seattle and Green Bay, which is, you know, you got to figure that's the game of the week. I'm going to Philly, and I do agree with Ace. I am really looking forward to the New England Buffalo game. I think the Dallas Philly game is going to be real interesting. After last week, you know, Twitter had at halftime of the Philadelphia Atlanta game, Twitter had the Eagles going 2-14. Chip Kelly's system doesn't work. Sam Bradford's a bust in this system. Why did we pay DeMarco Murray? All this idiotic stuff. And then the second half comes, and they blew the game that they should have won. And then you have Dallas. You know, it's going to be interesting to see them without Dez Bryant. You know, you're going to have guys like Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley step up. And now I think we're going to find out how much the Cowboys really do miss DeMarco Murray without Dez, because they're going to have to be able to run the ball. And, you know, it's going to be, who's it going to be? Randall? Is it going to be McFadden? I mean, and then, you know, you factor in the huge NFC East rivalry. It's the, you know, it's the 3:30 primetime game on Fox. So there's just a lot of intrigue in that game. I like Philly to win. I like Philly to win that one.
All right. Schwab, who you got this week?
Bills Pats.
Say why, you Pats.
I like that one, too. I think the Bills actually might be an okay team this year. So, I mean, I'm interested in seeing how they do, you know, again, with Tyrod Taylor, see how he does. Should be a
way
good
to
one.
Go out on a limb there, buddy. They
wow, the Bills might be an okay team, and you might actually touch some titties next week.
They beat the,
yeah,
the
sure.
first the team.
You put me last
to win.
And talked about all the games.
Brendan,
what
else
am I
going to
talk about?
I got a couple games, like Shane touched on the Packers and Seahawks. I mean, Seahawks either go 0-2 or 1-1. Pats and Bills, I watched the Pats and Colts game. Like I said last week on the podcast, the Colts offensive line is a fucking disaster. The Bills beat the shit out of Indianapolis, and Rex Ryan made them look bad up front. It was ridiculous. But the game I'm actually looking forward to is the Chiefs and the Broncos. We talked about Peyton Manning. He doesn't look good. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to judge after week one, but we got a test of what we saw at the end of the year of Peyton Manning, and we kind of saw it again week one. He doesn't. I mean, Denver's defense looked great, but I think they're trying to give more credit to that to how bad Peyton looked. And the Chiefs, they came out and they dominated the Texans. I mean, Hoyer lost a job after week one. They're starting out week two. That tells you how dominant they were. So if the Chiefs go out and beat the Broncos week two, they got a good matchup with Green Bay week three, and we may be talking about how serious Kansas City may be this year.
I agree with that.
Coley, give us a game to watch.
I'm least looking forward to Bills-Patriots because the only storylines that can come from it are the Patriots are done. Because if the Patriots win, it's just going to be like, yeah, Tom Brady beats the Bills again. Like he's beat them like 25, 26 times. So there's nothing good that can come out of that game. So that's what I'm looking least forward to. Most forward, I don't know who they're playing. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But whoever the Browns are playing, get my boy Johnny Manziel. Let him start cooking. I'm tired of the reins being all over him and him being held back with these shackles of oppression known as Cleveland. Let him fucking go out there and throw that pigskin like he knows how. Come on.
To Coley's point right there, they're playing Tennessee, and it's the first time in NFL history that a quarterback starts off and plays back-to-back Heisman winners in Week One. So obviously, Mariota played Winston Week One, and now he's playing Manziel. Definitely an interesting game.
Let's go!
Wow.
I knew it.
That's a cool tidbit.
What will you say next week if Mariota blows Johnny Manziel out of the water? I want you to start right now. I'm getting you hyped for the stuff the 219 Schwab. I want you to go off with all these motherfuckers that's doubting your pick of Marcus Mariota. Let them know. Talk your shit right now.
Yeah, what I'd say the Browns suck too. I mean, yeah, Mariota looks very good, and I really wish they had taken him instead of Winston. I think the way that the NFL is changing, you're going to have offenses that are very much suited to Mariota-style play. But I don't think that's going to be anywhere near as much of an issue as people may have found. But I think the bigger issue was this is a god-awful Bucs team.
Jesus Christ, I'm taking all my money off the table. I just gave him the ultimate hype-up opportunity. And he just went with the Browns plus. Oh my God! Man, your wife is gonna be so disappointed in you.
Oh God! We'll cross that imaginary bridge when we get to it.
hey, thank you for at least saying that I'll have a wife. So
I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt sometimes, man. But you try.
Yeah, somewhere out there, there is a woman that is impressed by blocking schemes and a knowledge of the Tampa 2.
Oh, yeah.
And she lives in a trailer park and already has 15 kids.
Hey, if you think she's a woman or you think it's a woman out there, he's already winning. I seriously doubt he's whipping no about blocking schemes.
She's currently playing Magic the Gathering as we speak.
Yeah, there you go. Go to Comic-Con, Swap. We're going to get on this show. We're going to get you a woman. We're going to find a woman to come on the podcast, and you're going to talk to her. I know that sounds so frightening. You're going to talk to her, and then you are going to get her number.
I would prefer if women don't know that the show exists. I think that probably it'd be the last nail in the coffin for any chances of me finding someone here.
I don't know. One of the biggest shows of this fan is a woman, but that chick out in Vegas loves this show, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's got a golf club up her pussy right now.
Oh, Jesus boy.
Christ, man. My mom listens to this show, man. Come on.
Sorry about that.
Okay. And with that, we'll move on to our next segment with Prentice Jackson. Prentice, what you got for us?
Prentice Jackson, I'm coming with who the fuck dropped the church's money this week? You know, I can't pick out a significant play because not everybody's watching every single game that I'm watching. I'm going to just pick a team every week who just the collection plate was going around the church and somebody just dropped the fucking ball. They dropped the money. They disappointed the church. And this week it is Arkansas and college football. I mean, Brett Bielema talked all that shit about Ohio State's schedule, and he went out there and he got his ass kicked by a shit show school, and I don't want to hear his mouth ever again. So, Arkansas, thank you for dropping the church's money. Congratulations. See you in church next week.
That was good, man. But, I mean, you're not giving Toledo and the MAC credit?
I'm not giving anybody in the MAC credit versus SEC. I don't care if it's Vanderbilt. Nobody in SEC should be losing to a MAC school. Auburn should not be in a dogfight versus Jacksonville State. I could have picked Auburn for the segment as well, but with Arkansas losing and with the head coach having the nerve to speak on Ohio State's schedule, he should shut the fuck up and make sure he has enough money for the collection plate next week.
And that brings us to our college football segment. BYU, I've seen bullshit wins back-to-back. It happened all last year in the Arena League. I seen it with the Lions last year. BYU, 4th and I think it was 11. And the receiver on the backside gets behind the secondary, catches a bullshit Hail Mary. So this is back-to-back weeks. BYU just steals one, like absolutely steals it. Where do you think their season is going, Shay?
Well, we know just like I'm surprised, you know, Schwab's a big Michigan fan. I'm surprised that he's not a BYU fan, considering that all those fucking homos are all virgins.
They can't eat sugar though.
They can't drink coffee. They, you know, whatever. It's an awful program. But I mean, the luck's gonna run out. I believe that they play UCLA this week.
Yep.
At UCLA, and yeah, they do. They're 17-point underdogs. They're going to get destroyed this week, and you know the luck will run out, and then they'll, you know, go home and pray and do whatever the hell it is that people go to BYU do it on Saturday nights.
So, what do they do at BYU on Saturday nights?
I have no idea. I mean, they make me look like a party animal, so.
Prentice, what do you think of BYU's 2 victory?
I mean, we talked about the first one, you know, horrible fucking defense by Nebraska. Week 2, another lucky bullshit. Like the UCLA kicked their ass, and then I think they got Michigan the week after. I think they'll lose both those games. We'll be done talking about those fucking virgins.
What do you guys got against virgins, man? You guys are all once virgins. Well, tell me.
I mean, I got
Ace. Ace, what do you have against virgins?
Oh, I don't have nothing against virgins. I just have something against Schwab because he's a fat, dumb fuck.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all right.
I mean, BYU's home to fucking, you know, Steve Young. So, I mean, if Steve Young wasn't on campus getting pussy, then I don't know what to, you know.
And Jim McMahon.
So I don't know what to think of BYU.
You guys are terrible. Coley, do you
guys
think you
deserve it? It's a fucking cult.
Are you asking me if I have any thoughts about BYU athletics? Because I don't. I don't have a single one.
Okay, what game?
They couldn't be less relevant of an instant, like of in anything. Like, they might as well not exist as far as I'm concerned.
What game surprised you guys last week?
I'll give you the game that surprised me was Auburn and Jacksonville State. I mean, Auburn, I think they dropped 14 places in the poll. That's how well the coaches thought of them. They played like shit. They probably should have lost if it wasn't for horrible play calling by Jacksonville State coach at the end of the game. You know, I was, like I said, SEC put on a shit show last week other than Alabama, and I was thoroughly disgusted with that game, and I was really hoping they lost.
Shane, what game caught your eye?
Well, it wasn't necessarily the result, but it was the way it happened. It was the Oklahoma-Tennessee game. Tennessee just controlled that whole entire game, and then they just blew it at the end. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that just kills your season right there. Tennessee was, like I said, they had Oklahoma. They had them dead. I think that they were up like 17 at one point, And then all of a sudden, Oklahoma just tied it up, and then it went to overtime and double overtime, and Oklahoma pulled it out. You know, to be at home like that for, you know, the biggest non-conference game that your team has had in I don't know how long, and to just completely blow it like they did, that was surprising.
Okay. Ace, what college game caught your eye?
I only watched one this weekend, and that was the Virginia and Notre Dame game. And I got to say, that freaking catch by Fuller, freaking that won them the game, was pretty fucking spectacular.
Yeah, that was a good catch. You know what? I hate Notre Dame. I don't think there's anybody that hates them more than I do, but
you're talking to one right now.
I mean, yeah. Me, you, I know a few
me
guys.
Too,
I, live
too.
I live in the area, and it's horrible. But I actually feel bad for Notre Dame to lose your starting quarterback, lose your starting running back. They lost the starting tight end the other day. Like, it's bad. And, I mean, they still, when that backup quarterback came in, he threw a hell of a ball, and Fuller had a hell of a catch. That was a good win by them, but they can kiss the playoffs goodbye.
It helped that the Virginia secondary fell asleep there.
Yeah, it did.
And Notre Dame's got Virginia or Georgia Tech coming in this week. That's a pretty good team.
And who was that Virginia receiver that dropped the ball in the end zone? Like, he had his hands on that. Like, what the hell was that?
Oh yeah, he dropped the fucking church's money. You know, he would have been a nominee if it was about players. But you know, he dropped the church's money. But hats off to Notre Dame. You know, their starting quarterback got hurt, and you've seen the heads drop on the sideline and. But they went out there and they finished that game, and they're 2-0. But I expect Georgia Tech to steamroll them this week.
Yeah, and that sucks. I mean, to be honest, I hate Notre Dame, too. You never like to see, you know, especially kids like that get injured. And, I mean, their season's over now after losing what they lost. And, you know, they had a chance to be in contention for the playoffs, and that's just completely out the window now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell you the one
totally.
That,
yeah, I mean, we already touched on it, but Arkansas going out and shitting themselves. I saw some respectable people before the season saying they had a realistic path to a playoff game, and that can't be that can't still be in play because of the way college football works. I was also shocked at how many people gave a shit about Boston College beating Howard. I think that happened this weekend. I don't really know, but I saw a lot of people talking about it whenever it happened, and that surprised me because it was Boston College Howard. Like that, people really gave a shit. Like that blows my mind.
Yeah, Coley, I think
they scored, what, 42 points in the first quarter.
I feel like there's always ridiculous high-scoring games in college because of the way the schedules work. And, again, it's Boston College. Like, I'm sitting right next to BU's campus, which is about 2 miles from Boston College campus. No one gives a shit about either school's athletics around here. No, not a soul. So I was just shocked to see the Internet give so much of a shit.
Okay, that was my question to you. I was wondering, I figured it was Boston College. I wasn't sure what around your area, or at least in the, you know, surrounding area, what's the main college team where there's, you know, the most fans for? Is it Boston College?
Honestly, if you're just talking football, it's probably Boston College. If you're talking like the team that gets the most support year after year, it's UConn women's basketball, 100%.
Okay.
Like college sports, we dominate regular, like real sports. Why would we give a shit about college sports around here?
Gotcha.
Coley, can we get a chowder for the podcast?
You want a chowder, like a chowder drop, just for the podcast? You can throw it in there.
Yeah, what's the best kind of chowder?
No, New England, clam chowder, 100%.
All right.
One of my favorite chowder references is when Calhoun got into it with Calipari years ago, and he went on that crazy tirade and said Calipari doesn't even know how to pronounce chowder. That was hilarious.
And speaking of hilarious, Schwab, take away your Michigan minute.
Oh God.
One minute.
All right, thanks. Michigan got their first win of the Jim Harbaugh era this past Saturday over Oregon State. The team's still a work in progress, but they showed some real improvement over their first game against Utah, namely in the run game where they were consistently able to execute power.
empower the play side lineman down block, the full block, the full back, blocks the end man on the line, and the backside guard pulls and looks to block an oncoming defender. The tight end double teams with the play side tackle and then looks to block a backside defender. Michigan.
This is why you're a virgin. It's moments like this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, Oregon City didn't do a very good job of defending the run. They never really had more than seven men in the box, and the mismatch was only exacerbated when Michigan ran with 22 personnel. But still, it was nice to see the team execute as well as they did. A full recap, including position-by-position breakdowns and player grades, is up right now at goodifitgoes.com.
It's lit. Way to break that shit down, Swap. Print it.
Now, why do you get so technical?
Print it.
No, that was the point.
I want to ask you, Prentice, did he block power right?
It didn't sound right. The double team with the tight end sounded familiar, but something didn't sound right. I'm going to have to listen to it and evaluate it for next week.
Oh, yeah. So I just want to say one thing. I want to bring up a point because me and Quan were talking about this earlier. What about that Florida coach going off on the one player and had a public outcry on Twitter? I want to hear Prentice and Quan's view on that.
Well, let me tell you this. I played for a coach. I played 2 years for one coach, and I played 2 years for another coach, and they both were two of the craziest motherfuckers that I ever played for in my life. He had no problem with calling you a pussy, either in practice or during the games in front of your family. That tirade, yeah, he dragged it on a little bit longer than it should have, but what he said was, I mean, I've heard that shit almost every week, so I was not surprised one bit. I thought the overreaction was, you know, I saw some shit where it's breaking down how black men do this and that. You know, that shit's ridiculous. The guy, he let his team down, but the coach berated him a little bit too long. That's all I got for it.
I don't think it was too long at all. I think it's exactly what, listen, Coach Anonymous is what I'll call him.
Make sure you edit out. Make sure you bleep out that name when you.
I don't want to see him because I'll see him before you will. We went out on Halloween one night, and we were dressed as volleyball players. We had guys that were in plumbers' outfits, just a whole bunch of shit. So he put on a slideshow. Our coaches found the pictures, and he put on a slideshow. And he stood up in the auditorium, called us a bunch of front-running faggots. I mean, every faggot you can think of. It was a bad faggot, a good faggot, a faggot-ass faggot. I mean, we went to a Catholic college, and he's on the sideline talking about, let's fucking go, be a fucking man in front of, you know, in the defensive huddle. So, you know, it's stuff like that that keeps America soft. Like, the fact that it was a white coach telling them to man up, that's some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. It's just people are so sensitive nowadays that you can't really, you know, convey the point that you want to convey. He told them to be a man. He did a throw slap. He cost him 15, and he was correcting his error. And that's the problem with if you correct somebody's error in front of a bunch of people, it's like, oh, my God, it's a culture shock. But he did what was right, and all that PC shit goes out the window. The camera was around. The camera caught the audio. If they didn't catch the audio, it's really no limit to how far the media would have took it. So that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, like I said, playing football for years. I mean, we've heard. I mean, like I said, me and Tom were in college, and the guy we played for was a great coach.
But just shifting gears, we want to try something different here on the podcast this week. So we got up the 219 Schwab. Earlier in the show, I said I was putting all my money on Schwab. I'm kind of scared now, but I got faith in you, man. You spend too much time not getting pussy to not know these answers. So first is going to be Schwab, the 219 Schwab. Versus Prentice Jackson with college football history. Schwab, you ready?
Yep.
Prentice, are you ready? So we got 30 seconds to answer a question. I give each one of you an opportunity to answer the question. It'll be Schwab first, and then it'll be Prentice second. A wrong answer, you get an X. We got three questions. If you both get the answer wrong, we'll move on to the next question. First question. Schwab, you're first.
Okay.
Which coach won the most national titles during the BCS era?
Saban?
Which coach won the most national title?
Saban, Nick Saban.
Prentice. Who you got?
During the BCS era, it was, I'm going to go with Urban Meyer.
That goes to Schwab. It was Nick Saban.
Wow.
What,
three at Alabama.
Two?
Three at Alabama and one at LSU.
One at LSU, nice.
Who are the three head coaches who have a Division I national championship and a Super Bowl title? Schwab, you're up first.
Okay, one is Jimmy Johnson. One is Barry Switzer.
I know the third.
I do too.
How much time
I know the
you
third.
Got?
Get him out of here.
You got 10 seconds.
I'm drawing a blank here.
Of course he is. This is college football.
Time's over.
Todd. Prentice.
The third
of three college.
Barry Switzer, Jimmy Johnson, and Pete Carroll.
That's it.
1-1. This is the tiebreaker. Let's see what we got here.
Does Pete Carroll still count?
Yeah, I don't know if Pete Carroll counts anymore.
He counts.
Did that still get vacated? Or no?
All right. This is it. This, whoever has this person wins. This format wasn't really thought out, so fuck it. Which college football program holds the record, the Football Bowl subdivision record, for most consecutive wins?
Oklahoma? Hold on, Quan. I'm having problems here.
I heard Oklahoma. Was that Prentice?
That was Prentice,
sure.
Both of us.
Prentice with the victory. He stopped the 219 Schwab.
And you goddamn right.
Quan, hang on. I'm having problems here. What's the problem?
You're having a lot of fucking problems right now. You're losing me bet.
No, hold on. Let me, hang up and call back in.
Oh my god, we gotta wait for this shit.
Jesus, somebody's taking a loss pretty rough.
He's about to go cut himself.
He's gonna go put on his Slipknot sweater than cut himself.
Round two of Stomp the 219 Schwab is gonna pit the 219 Schwab for the Canadian Terror Threat. And the topic is boxing.
Let's go.
Ace. When did George Foreman first win the heavyweight boxing championship?
What year? Oh, I don't know the exact year, but I know he beat George Frazier for it.
Who?
George Frazier.
Schwab. When did George Foreman first win the heavyweight boxing championship?
I had 30 seconds, right?
Yeah.
He's Googling it.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to think when I really got stripped of the title.
That's one of the Belichick.
74?
That is incorrect. Ah. Who did George Foreman beat for it? Ace, you said who?
Either George Frazier or Ken Norton, one of the two.
Bob, who are you saying?
Joe Frazier?
Joe Frazier is the correct answer. Oh, shit.
I don't know who George Frazier is.
That's Randy Rice's friend.
Who did Hagler lose? Or who beat Hagler for the middleweight title?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
It's 1-1. Question 3. Schwab, you need this to stay alive. Who is the oldest boxer to win the heavyweight title?
George Foreman.
I gotta give that to Ace.
This is a second tiebreaker. I'm losing now, getting it in at the same time.
Yeah,
you didn't get it. You didn't get it at the same time. What are you talking about?
You're a virgin. You know, you should know how to be quick, buddy.
Wow.
But do we even need to go to the third round?
Why not? Do it. I'll down.
Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. NFL trivia. Let's see what I can find here. Shane, you're up first. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Which Pro Bowl quarterback wide receiver duo share the unique distinction as being formerly unheralded, undrafted free agents? You got 30 seconds.
Undrafted? And they were on the same team?
That's how they would be a duo, yes.
That's tough. Woo. Jesus Christ.
That's a tough question.
It's recent. That's time. Schwab, who you got?
Okay, I'm guessing the quarterback is Tony Romo. And the receiver... I'm Miles Austin.
Holy fucking shit, he's Googling. That's right.
Did anybody know that?
I knew that.
I did not.
I knew Romo.
That sounds like Google to me.
Yeah, that you had to have Googled that, you fat fuck.
Nope. No Google.
Next.
I mean, I'd almost give it a 0% chance you got that without Google.
How do you think I got the nickname in the first place?
He is the 219 Schwab, bro. Question two. Which quarterback had the higher passer rating in the 1994 season? There are four choices. Brett Favre, Steve Young, Dan Marino, or John Elway?
Can you repeat the question?
Which quarterback had the higher passer rating in the 94 season? Brett Favre, Steve Young, Dan Marino, John Elway. Schwab, you're up first.
I'll guess Elway.
Jay?
I'll go Steve Young.
Steve Young is the correct answer. God damn it, Schwab. You about to get fucking swept.
He probably Googled that. Hey, I got the tiebreakers in the last two rounds at the same time.
This is fucking it. This is the Coley special. No homo. When did the Boston Patriots, change their name to the New England Patriots? Whoever answers first wins. There are four choices. 1965, 1980,
1971,
or 1983?
80? 71. Who said 71?
Shane.
Me?
God damn it, Schwab. You're going to be a fucking virgin forever.
You lost all your money, Quan.
I'm calling you Kevin from now on.
Yeah. You just got swept, you fat fuck.
I'll get him next week.
I put my fucking faith in you, you asshole. As that was
mine was a total guess on the last one. I just happened to get it right.
Oh, really? You guessed that? I had no clue. we're signing off here on Good Podcast Episode 4. We want to thank our guest, Coley Mick, or Coley, Twitter, Coley Mick, for coming on the show. He said chowder. We got a chowder drop from now on. Recommend this podcast to all your friends, Coley.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, boys.
All right, thanks, guys. See you next week. Good at the goal.